Sharrow became a Christian through City Hope, my old church in London, many, many years ago. He was about this high and a skinny little brat. He's improved. One of his passions was that he would return to Kurdistan, northern Iraq, with the good news of Jesus. Having met Jesus here in this country, come as a refugee, he wanted desperately to go back. And he met and married the beautiful Lex. Can you give her a cheer? And she too was very keen to go to Kurdistan and there to, well, they're going to tell you what they're doing, but they're here this weekend with us, and we are so pleased to have them. So please welcome again, Sharrow and Lex.
Good morning, everyone. So this is our third year being here, and every year we've just, as Dave said, we have really loved spending time with you guys. It's just been a Sunday for a few hours, but every time we've left feeling so encouraged and actually at home and just so loved and welcomed by you guys in that few hours, and we really do speak highly of you guys because you're just an amazing church, really. So it's good to be here as well this year with Dave here. What Dave hasn't told you is the whole, I was going to share a lot of that, but I won't have to. But even, so his son's here, and growing up, we would just have like barbecues at like 3 a.m, and Dave and Les just put up with it. They were amazing. Never once did they complain. Well, not to me, but they might have to Mark, their son. But they were just so loving, and they've been so significantly part of our journey. So they married me and Alexis, and just in terms of just really looking after us, supporting, and spent a lot of time listening to us while I can talk a lot. And they have just listened and been so caring. So, so it's just so good to be here. What we wanted to do is we've shared a lot of our story over the past 2 years before in terms of why we went. But what we thought would be good this year is our children made a video. They're not here. They're back in London with Alexis' parents. And they're just quite tired of driving and traveling a lot. So they've made a video while we was in Iraq showing you a bit of our life. And there's so much better coming from them. So this is it. Is there sound? Oh, it might need to go. No? There should be sound.
I don't know. So it's just a small video, which we think just gives a glimpse of our life. I don't know if the sound starts working, then maybe we can show that in a bit. But just to share a bit about our past since we were here last the past year. So life isn't, I just was speaking to a lovely lady and she was like, oh, is it quite difficult living in Iraq? And obviously there are challenges and life isn't always amazing, although God is always amazing. But God's really put the verse on our heart that no, in Romans 4, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And we really feel like as we face challenges as a family, when things are hard, actually God has just so miraculously provided for us and met us in all of the challenges that our faith is just growing and growing because he's given us lots of promises. As Dave shared, Sharrow went, even as a young, quite soon after he was saved, he knew God's heart was calling him back to the land that he came out of to go back and share the good news of Jesus with that nation. He's put on our heart the poor to go and love the poor and the oppressed in society. When we sung that song today about how God is going to make beauty from ashes, and that just like moved me so much because I was like, yes, God, there's so much brokenness in this world. Where we work in a refugee camp with, and there's lots of displaced people. There's so much brokenness, there's so much pain, and you just see these ashes kind of constantly. But we believe in a God that can make beauty from ashes. And that is our heart and that is our prayer. And so in this past, we've been in Iraq now for 3 years. In this past 3 years, there have been challenges. We've faced difficulties. But we've never, ever felt that God isn't been with us. We've never felt that he's not for us. And he just so wonderfully kind of steps in miraculous ways that we just feel like he's just building our faith more and more for all that he wants to do, which is exciting. So one of the big challenges, we're now a registered charity. So from Iraq, we've managed to register a UK charity for our work that we do there. Then we had to register it in Iraq, which was just such a lengthy and arduous process, as you can imagine. But miraculously, just a day or two before we left, all our paperwork came through for that. So it took us about a year, but we're now a registered charity here and a registered charity in Iraq, which just enables us to do so much more and to love this community so much more. Is the video now? The sound is ready? Brilliant.
Hi, I'm Alana.
And I'm Asa.
And this is our movie about Sleimani.
So where is Sleimani? Sleimani is in the Middle East in a country called Iraq. In the northern part of Iraq is the Kurdish region. And in the Kurdish region is the city that we live in, Sleimani.
Here is a Kurdish calendar. And we, on Friday and Saturdays, are weekends. So that means we have to do work on Sunday.
This is where you get a variety of food in the centre of the Sleimani Bazaar.
And it gets very busy.
I love the bazaar. You can get a variety of things.
They're great, aren't they? So we've seen this video so many times, but I just smile and love watching it every time. The children, and they've been such a blessing to us in Iraq. They've adapted, and just on the car journey home yesterday, we were coming back from somewhere, and Alana said, "You know, I'm really looking forward to going back home. I can't wait to go back to Iraq," which in itself is an answer to prayer, because we have loads of family and friends and just memories of England that we love. So sometimes it's quite painful for them to leave, but they're looking forward to going back. And one of those reasons is because we got a puppy before we left. So that's really that. So that's amazing provision of God, because not many people do that. It's not a cultural thing you do, but it's working and it's great. But just one of the things to share. So last year, we had three prayer points, and with you guys, we prayed together. One of them was for people to have dreams and for them to come to us with dreams of Jesus and to share that. The other one thing was a charity, and the third was a team. So the first thing was the dream, and I think it was a few weeks after arriving back, a friend called me and he had a dream about Jesus. And that was an amazing answer to prayer. And then since then, he's been saved, and it's amazing having that journey with him. And the challenges of that journey with him. And then the other thing is, when we left, our charity hadn't been registered in the UK. And in November of that year, so a few months after, our charity was registered in the UK. And as Alexa said, is also now registered in Iraq, which is a really big deal for us. And then the last thing was team. And we've got someone coming out to join us. So she's agreed to come. And she's coming in the next few months, hopefully, which would be amazing. And there's other people who God has just put what we're doing on their hearts. And they're also coming long-term and short-term, which is incredible for us, and seeing the power of prayer when you're in a place like that. So thank you all for praying. We've really appreciated that, and it's made such a difference.
So we've just made a very short video, which just shows a bit about the work that we're doing in Iraq and the camp. It's kind of a promotional video for our charity, so that's why it's kind of got that focus. But it does show some of the fun that we've been having with the community that we're working in. In recent years, the world has watched the conflict in Iraq and Syria unfold, and many charities have been working to provide relief to those who have recently fled. But what happens to those displaced many years ago?
Determined to help these forgotten people, we set up our charity, Hope for Communities. Since 2017, we have been working with people from the Middle East who have been displaced and are now living here in the northern region of Iraq.
We asked the community how we could help, and they asked us to provide English and karate classes. Having a good grasp of the English language really creates and opens up job opportunities. We like to have as much fun as possible in our classes, playing games, singing songs, and doing art.
Martial arts are very popular in Iraq. Karate is such a benefit to the children we work with. It builds their self-confidence and improves their physical health. Our karate teachers are able to mentor the children, and we have seen them bring amazing reconciliation into divisions in the community.
As a doctor and nurse, we'd love to expand our work by setting up medical projects, including health education.
We'd love you to partner alongside us to help bring long-lasting change into these communities.
Please consider setting up a regular monthly giving to our charity, Hope for Communities.
Or maybe you'd like to organise a fundraising event and share this video on social media to encourage others to support us.
Every penny helps sow life into a community that is in desperate need of hope. You can give through bank transfer or through our website.
And if you want to contact us, please do get in touch.
That's just a video that we made that just shows a bit about the charity that we've started and what we've been doing there. As Sharo shared, prayer has been so significant. I shared about how God has met us in the challenges that we face, but we really strongly believe that that is because we have amazing people like you guys praying for us, standing with us, and that God has been so with us, and it's so much of that is thanks to people, faithful people praying for us. So we just wanted to finish with a couple of things from this year that we'd love you to pray for. So many of these things have stayed the same, obviously, because the situations, some of them are the same. So firstly, to pray for this nation, for this land. There's been so much war, so much suffering. It's so broken, the land of Iraq. But so just please pray for this nation and the surrounded nations, for healing to come, for Jesus to come. Please pray for our charity, that God will help us. We're quite novice in setting up charities, running all of these things. It's all very new for us. But so just pray that God would be with us, that this charity would be successful, so we can help as many people as we can, and so we can see beauty coming from ashes. Please pray for more team. At the moment, me and Sharo and our two children, there's a lot to do there, and we're doing quite a lot of that. So pray for more people to come with the same heart and the same vision, so that we can share some of that and work that God has put on our heart. And finally, just please continue to pray for God's protection over our family. We trust him that he's keeping us safe, but obviously we rely on his continued provision and protection over us and for our children. So thank you.
We'll just pray for them. Father, we do thank you for Sharon and Lex. We thank you for the call you've put in their heart. We thank you for their willingness and obedience to walk with you through this. We ask you, Father, that you will prove again and again to be their great provider. We pray, Lord, for a team to be with them. We pray for finance. We pray for the building to meet in, Lord Jesus. We thank you for what you've done in the charity. We thank you that they've seen over the years your faithfulness to them. Now enlarge their vision and increase all that you do through them for your glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Now, as the youth go out and Debbie comes up, let's take up our offering. If you're new to us or you're visiting, please don't feel you need to put anything in. It's just as a church, we take up offering, and this is it. So,
I'm so busy concentrating on switching that off. Ah, oh, so the offering's nearly gone round. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Who remembers what Corinne gave us to do when she was leading worship? You might not have all been here, but Corinne was here a few weeks ago, and she had something, a visual aid to help us remember something about God. Does anyone remember what it was? Somebody? Nobody? Well, I'm getting the brownie points this morning then, so whoop whoop. Corinne had little pieces of blue ribbon over there, and she encouraged the children to start with to take a piece of blue ribbon and to tie it somewhere where they were going to see it regularly to remember God's faithfulness. And then she said, you know, the adults can do it as well. And I thought, oh, I don't know about this. But anyway, I went and got a piece, and I tied this piece of ribbon to the zip bit on my Bible cover. And do you know what? It's been absolutely brilliant. Just sort of each time I pick my Bible up to think, yeah, God, you are faithful. Sometimes, you know, in parts of the day or even in the morning, so when I get up and go to my Bible, that's not necessarily what's on my mind. What's on my mind is, oh my goodness, there's a lot to do today. How am I going to get through it? But sometimes it's good to get hold of that. Our God is faithful. Amen. So this morning, we're going to look at the fact that God is faithful. And so I'm going to recap on the story of Ruth so far. As you know, Adrian did chapter 1, and then the wonderful Ruth did chapter 2 last week. If you weren't here, can I encourage you to listen to the message? You can get hold of it through the what's that thing called? The app. That's me showing you. That's the app, or on the website. Really encourage you, because I'm going to do a quick recap of the story, but to really get hold of the meat and the gold that they bought out of it, it'd be really great if you could listen to it. So is that okay? Shall we just pray? Can we stand to pray? Sometimes it's just really great to stand. And really great if you just put your hands out, as if you're putting your hands out to the Lord. And why don't you just say to him, you know, we're all here, we've all got different stuff that's going on in our lives. But you know what? God wants to speak to each one of us. There's not a single person in this room that he is going to ignore today. There is something that he wants to put in your spirit. So why don't you just tell him now? If you really want to receive from God, why don't you say, God, would you speak into my heart? And Lord, would you cause me, help me, Lord, to walk in the goodness of what you want to show me personally today? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, amen. Please be seated. So I just want to remind everyone, if you don't already know, you know, we've been hearing from Sharo and Alexi. It's so good to see you guys here today. Of God's goodness, of his faithfulness, the way that he provides a way and keeps on providing. And I just want to say to you today that he's a genius at it. God is an absolute genius at providing ways through difficulties. He's a genius at bringing even more celebration when there's celebration to happen. God is absolutely brilliant. Are there any amens in the room? It's been a year since I've stood at the front and actually preached. Some of you won't have known. I like a bit of feedback, so it's really great. I don't mind if you shout, amen. Thanks for that, whoever that was. And the important thing is that God is a God of relationship. He wants to relate to us, and he wants us to relate to one another. And he loves spending time with each one of us. He absolutely loves. Dave and I were sort of praying upstairs this morning, and one of the prayers that came out, one of the things that came out of my mouth was, God, you are far more excited about meeting with us than ever we are of meeting with you. I just see God as being on the edge of his seat, waiting to connect with each one of us. That's brilliant, isn't it? It's brilliant to recognize that God, he's our Father and he's for us. So I'm going to do this quick recap, because chapter 3 that I'm covering starts really helpfully with the word then. Well, that's not very helpful if you don't know what's gone on before. So we're with the children of Israel. They're God's people and they're in the promised land. And this is at the time of Judges. It's before Samuel. So if you want to follow the story, it is the next chapter after the book of Judges. Near the front somewhere. Someone will show you if you don't know. And we're introduced to a family. There's Elimelech. He's the husband. There's a wife, Naomi. And they have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And they live in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem translates, it means house of bread. But there was one major problem in the house of bread. There was a famine. Now, who knows when there's a famine in the land, as we were just hearing about, you know, sort of people are become refugees for all sorts of reasons. But one of the reasons people can become refugees is because they are literally looking for how they are going to survive. And so people will move to another place where there is abundance, where they can be fed. And this is what happened here. And you can understand that Elimelech wanted his family to thrive and survive. Those of you who've got children, you want your children to thrive and survive, don't you? I hope the answer to that is yes. If it's not, there'll be ministry time at the end, right? Okay. But something strange happens here. Instead of staying with God's people, what he does, he takes his family away from the people of God He leaves behind his inheritance because when the people came into the promised land, the tribes were apportioned land, and then the families within that were given land. So he's walked away, if you like, from his livelihood. He's walked away from the people of God. And what makes it even harder was he took his family to Moab. Now, the Moabites are historically enemies of the people of God. And there's lots in God's law about the Moabites, and it's not good, okay? So it wasn't the best place to be going in the natural. So they went to Moab. He settled with his family. And then Elimelech, the husband, the father, died. The sons then married Moabite women, and there was Ruth and Orpah, and it's Ruth that we're looking at today. That's the book of Ruth. And this was a complete no-no. The Israelites were forbidden from marrying foreign women. And in Deuteronomy 23, just so that we really get to grips about what was going on with Moab, it says this: you shall not seek their peace nor their prosperity all your days forever. So, you know, go there, but don't seek anything good for them. And then after 10 years, both of the sons died. So they've married Moabite women, they're childless, and they die. So what happens here is we have Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah, who are all widows. And in the culture of that time, that brought with it all sorts of problems. Who knows, there was no benefit system waiting to provide for these women in Moab. There was a shame on not having children, on being childless. There was a shame on being widows. It's just the way it was. So really, the women were left in a complete mess. They had no means by which to live. Nothing to feed themselves on. So they'd gone from a place of famine, and now 10 years or so later, here they are, sort of destitute, really, in a culture of shame. Now, you're all glad you came this morning now, aren't you? My goodness, this is a great story, Debbie. Listen to the other two messages. As I say, Adrian and Ruth have brought some brilliant stuff out of the first two chapters. God has a great way of turning dark times into light. We've been singing it this morning, haven't we? You know, great are you, Lord. He's great at doing the stuff. And this is what we're going to see this morning. Naomi decided to return to Bethlehem. Who knows, that's a good decision. I'm going to go back to God's people. But she tells Ruth and Orpah to stay with their own people. Orpah says, yeah, I'm going to stay. But Ruth says, no, I'm going to go with you. And this is the important bit that we need to get hold of here. It's something that Ruth says, and it's right back in chapter 1. She says this to Naomi: let me come too. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wow. This lady, this Moabite, I just wonder, what has she seen in Naomi of God, of God's people, to say, do you know what, I'm coming with you. And so they both go back, Naomi and Ruth, and it's harvest time back in Bethlehem. So they're going back to a time of plenty, but don't forget, they're destitute as they arrive. And there's been provision put in the law, and I won't, you can listen to, as I say, one of the other messages, read these chapters for yourself. There's provision in the law for something called gleaning. And what that meant was, at harvest time, the harvesters would go along harvesting the crops, and there would be sort of bits of the harvest left behind deliberately for the poor and people such as these to come along to pick up the grain, to be able to make bread, to have provision for food. So Ruth went gleaning. so that they could both eat. And that's the important thing. She wasn't thinking about herself. She was thinking about Naomi too. And it says in chapter 2 that she worked hard. She caught the attention of this guy called Boaz. And he was a wealthy, influential landowner. So you can see, oh, what's going to happen here then? You know, sort of as I'm reading things like this, oh, okay, God, as Ruth said last week, you know, you can gradually see something great unfolding in this story. Things began to look up. He made sure that she got preferential treatment and extra food. He said to the harvesters, leave some extra stuff deliberately so that she can pick it up. And he also made sure that she was safe. Here we have a young, vulnerable woman surrounded by harvesters. I should imagine there was, you know, a lot of hormones going on here. You know, he was making sure that she was protected, that she was safe. And he just happened to be a close relative. Now, in your Bible, it might say kinsman redeemer or guardian redeemer. And this was a close relative who could redeem a person or redeem land. So, for instance, if you were sold into slavery, this close family member could... had in the law, there was provision that he could buy you back out of slavery. And also, if any land had been sold, they had the right to be able to buy that land back. Ruth said last week, there are no coincidences with God. Suddenly, they've gone back to Bethlehem and things start to fall into place. And this is where we pick up in chapter 3. I'm actually going to read a verse or two at a time, and then we'll look at it. You know, God at this point has started to restore honour instead of shame. Imagine what Ruth and Naomi were feeling like as they went back, or in Naomi's case, Naomi went back and Ruth went with her. The sort of shame, the stigma and all of that. But this book is full. It's absolutely full of the kindness of God. The book of my life is full of the kindness of God. There has been so many times when I've needed to draw on God because I've done stuff wrong or because stuff's just happened or whatever. And God has always proved himself faithful. He's always proved himself kind. And this is what we're going to see here in Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. Then, so you forget this, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, so she's speaking to Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek security, and that's rest or protection for you, that it may be well with you? What's she saying here? It's time. Let's look towards the future. Naomi wanted a good life for Ruth. She wanted a good life for her daughter-in-law. They'd been fed, and this was harvest time, but still the future was uncertain. They were still widows. But, and I love it, you know, we have one of these, but God had made provision, and it's in Deuteronomy 25, verse 5 to 6. You don't need to look it up, I'll read it out. It says this: if brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother or nearest male kinsman shall go into her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of his dead brother. That's a bit of a mouthful to me. I don't know about you. Succeed to the name of his dead brother. It basically means that the child will be considered the son of the dead brother. And that means that that family line will not be blotted out of Israel. What a brilliant provision. And this is known as a Levirate marriage. It's God's provision of protection and hope. Can you feel the hope rising in this? It's like one of these great novels that you read, isn't it? And it starts off with all this tragedy, but then gradually stuff unfolds. Verse 2. Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. See, Naomi has suddenly got solution focused. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor, but don't make yourself known to the man until he's finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful... My heart's always cheerful when I've eaten and drunk. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. So here's a great opportunity for breakthrough in this story. Ruth has been sent to claim the provision. Can you see that, what we looked at in Deuteronomy? She's been sent to claim the provision. Naomi knew exactly where Boaz would be. She told Ruth exactly what to do. Ruth agreed with the whole plan, but, you know, this wasn't some cheap exercise to try and seduce Boaz. You know, you can read this. Oh, she was told to, you know, so like, make yourself, you know, doll yourself up, love, as we would say in the Kettering area, if you're not familiar with the Kettering area. Like, come on, love, you know, put a bit of slap on, make yourself look good. And, you know, so go and entice this guy. No, we can see by other verses that this is not where Ruth is at. This is a different thing altogether. Ruth, it says about that she lay at his feet. She's posturing herself as a servant. There's a humility in this lady. And it says in verse 8, now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there was a woman lying at his feet. And he said, who are you? So she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. So you can see there's a humility in what she's speaking. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. And I'm looking up a lot about this business about uncovering feet and whatever, and I've come to the conclusion, and you can look it up, you can come to me afterwards and disagree or whatever, but what I see here is that actually the uncovering of his feet, he woke up startled. To me, that was it had got cooler, and there was something that that sort of changed. There are certain commentaries that you can read that will look totally different to that, but this is where we're going, because he goes on to talk about how virtuous she is. Naomi had only said to her, he'll tell you what to do, but here's Ruth suddenly with some boldness here, and she's requesting that Boaz cover her with his protection and marry her. And how do we know this? It's because in verse 9, it says, take your maidservant under your wing. And what it translates actually is, spread the corner of your garment over me. And in the culture of the ancient Middle East, c- casting the garment over someone was when they were being claimed for marriage. So can you see this? Oh, what's going on here? I love to get hold of these verses. Then in verse 10, it says, then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. So what do we see here? Ruth has built a reputation of kindness. Who knows that we can build a reputation one way or another? But she has built a reputation of kindness. People have seen her kindness to Naomi. They've seen her willingness to work. And they've seen that she's got high moral standards. So despite the circumstances that she was in, she didn't become someone who manipulated in order to get by. Can we see that? So verse 12 says, now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he doesn't want to perform that duty for you, I'll perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. So he's making a promise to her. And then he says, lie down until morning. And that speaks to me of a promise coming, and there's rest. What is he saying to her? You can rest now. I can just imagine her laying at his feet and just thinking, phew, it's going to be okay. But still, we don't know which way this story is going to go. But more than that, what I see here Boaz saying, this bit about, you know, spreading cover, I've got you covered. However this pans out, I've got you covered. So verse 14 says, she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. So it was dark before anybody could, you know, before it was light enough to, for one person to be able to recognize someone else. She got up, and he said, don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor. And I see here, this is his protection towards her, protecting her reputation. It could have been misconstrued while she was there. And in verse 15, he says, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs, I'm not sure how to say that, of barley, and he laid it on her. Then she went into the city, and she came to her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law said, is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave for me, for he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. So there was a caring there. So I got really excited when I saw that there were 6 ephahs, however you say it, of barley, and not 7. Because we haven't got time to unpack it now, but in the Bible, the number 7 is the number of completeness. It's the number of fullness. So what I saw straight away here, what I want you to see, is what he's saying is there's a promise of more to come. It's exciting. The Bible is exciting. I get excited when I read the Bible, and I always want to enthuse other people. Get excited. Get alongside these characters. Walk with them. See, imagine what they're going through. Imagine what they can you know, sort of taste and smell, touch, just as we saw your wonderful children. I mean, it really gave us a fantastic image of what it was like to live in Iraq, to actually sort of be and sort of see them getting excited about the food and all of that. Get hold of the Bible and see, you know, what God is saying in it. So the chapter has started with a pursuit of provision. Okay, Naomi had said, oh, you know, let's look at the future. But it ends with Ruth resting while Boaz is at work to see that provision realised. There's rest that comes at the end of it, which is really exciting. So next week, who's going to be here next week? If you're not here next week, get the recording, because I'm here to tell you it gets better. This story just, it's a gift that keeps on giving, this story of Ruth. But I just want to tell you something that's in chapter 2. Boaz had acknowledged Ruth's heart and he'd acknowledged Ruth's kindness towards Naomi. He talked about her faithfulness. He'd seen her courage. And he says this: the Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. He recognises that this wasn't just a convenient thing. Oh, well, I'll just go with my mother-in-law. She had positioned herself to be, if you like, part of God's family. And this is what I really want you to get hold of as well today. God didn't provide for Ruth based on her history. She was a Moabite. He didn't provide. Remember, verse 23 in chapter 23, you shall not seek their peace nor their prosperity all your days forever. I see that as she aligned herself with God's people, she came under that covering of God. It was like, if you like, that she'd stepped into the covering of covenant promises that the people of God were able to enjoy. She'd acknowledged God as her God. And this is just absolutely brilliant for me, because it's pointing to a time when all people, whether Jew or Gentile, are going to be able to come into the family of God. And who's that? Us. If you know Jesus, that is us. That is what's happened. Who said amen? You get... You can get something wonderful. I don't know what. There's a prize down here somewhere for you for it. You know, God provides for us based on a new covenant. And this is where I get even more excited. So, this is a point where I want to do a cartwheel, but I've never been able to do one in my life, so I won't try. Ephesians 2, verse 11 to 13. Are you offering to do one for me? Ephesians 2 verse 11 to 13 says this: at that time you were without Christ. This is talking about us. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You see, I can't imagine what it must be like to be a refugee, you know, sort of in the natural, but I can align myself with what it means to be in the wrong place with God, almost sort of as a refugee from God's people, because I was a stranger from the covenant of promise before I knew God. And it says, having no hope without God in the world. We were like Moabites, if you like, before we knew Jesus. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. And something that God wants, he just kept saying to me, when I was spending time with him, going over this, he just kept saying, Debbie, I've got you covered. He wants you to know, I've got you covered. I've got every situation covered. I know all the challenges. I know all the stuff. He wants you to know, he's got you covered. The blood of Jesus has covered us. God doesn't now look at you and go, stranger, foreigner, get away from me. He sees you through the blood of Jesus and says, hey, you're part of my kingdom. You're part of my world. You're part of my realm now. Isn't that great to know that you've been brought in to that? He doesn't base his provision on our past history. Praise God. He doesn't base his provision on which country you were born in. It's not about class. It's not about caste. It's not about creed. It's not about performance. Oh my goodness. It's not about performance. Do you know what? If we mess up, God goes into restoration mode. If we mess up, God goes, well, no, he doesn't go, oh, great, you've messed up. But he goes, great, here's an opportunity for me to show myself faithful. I'm going to come alongside you and I'm going to see you lifted up. I'm going to cause such kindness to come upon you that you're going to turn the other way, that's repentance, and come back to me. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance, isn't it? He's a great, great God. All his provision, all his promises are based on covenant. And it was all accomplished by Jesus. That is why when he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. We can't add anything to the work of the cross of Jesus. How am I doing? Oh, it's a miracle. I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, this morning actually, if you've strayed from him, you know, sort of eliminate in some respects, you could see that the circumstances were understandable, but he took his family away from God's people. If you've unwittingly, for whatever reason, come away from God, you might be sitting here, but your heart is a million miles away from him because you've been stuck in trying to work stuff out for yourself. Do you know what he's saying? Now's the time to come back. And if that's you, you can open your arms out wide and he's going to walk straight into them. There is no one that is too far away from God's hand. Because believe me, I've been there. And my testimony is, his arm reaches a long, long way. And he's willing. And what he says to each one of you is, in Christ, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of every ounce of goodness and provision that heaven provides. I don't know what you're battling with at the moment, some of you. I don't know what issues you have, but I just believe that God wants to encourage you that just as we heard with Jeanette, you know, she'd been praying and praying for healing, and then there was a suddenly. I believe that God's quickening stuff. I believe that there's a quickening going on in the world right now, in the spirit right now, where God is bringing fullness. He's bringing answers. So where, you know, you would have thought, oh, there's an answer and it's going to be a long way down the line, God is bringing those answers quickly. The Bible's full of promises and provision, but it's all based on Jesus. The favor that you can receive is based on Jesus. So maybe the answer hasn't rushed through the door yet. But just like Ruth, who got part of the story, because we're only partway through that story, she took hold of that promise and she did what Boaz said. She lay at his feet till morning. She rested on that promise. God has got you covered. There's a story which goes something like this. Hopefully I've written it down so I don't get in a pickle. Da-da-da. Talk amongst yourselves a minute. I'll just tell you this quick story. You've probably heard it before. Humour me. There was a man trapped in his house during a flood. And he began to pray to God to rescue him. He got a vision in his head of what that would look like. God reaching down from heaven and pulling him out to safety. The water started to rise in the house. And his neighbour turned up and said, "Come on, mate. We need to leave right now. Come with me." He offered him a ride to safety. And the man said back to him, "I'm waiting for God to save me." So the neighbour drove off in his 4x4. He continued to pray and hold on to this vision of what God was going to do. And the water began to rise. So he had to climb on the roof. And a boat came by with some people heading to safety. And they said, "Come on, we'll help you into the boat. Come to safety." And so they were all ready to throw him a rope for him to come into safety. And he said, "No, I'm waiting for God to save me." So they shook their heads and moved on. The man continued to pray, really thinking, "You know, come on, God, where are you?" And the floodwaters continued to rise. A helicopter flew by and a voice came over a loudspeaker saying, "We're about to lower the ladder down. Just grab hold of it and then you'll be okay." And he said, no, it's okay. I'm waiting for God to provide." The floodwaters came and swept him away, and he drowned. And when he reached heaven, he said, "God, why didn't you save me? I believed in you with all of my heart. Why did you let me down?" And God replied, "I sent you someone with a 4x4. I sent others with a boat, and I sent even more with a helicopter. Each person was an answer to prayer, and you refused all of them." That story came into my mind after God had said this to me. He said, in this story and throughout the book of Ruth, it's about relationship and about other people coming in to Ruth and Naomi's story to bring about restoration, to bring about good. And there was just this check in the spirit as I was praying that God was saying, are there situations where some of you have been praying for God's provision and people have come along and offered to help and you've turned them down? Now, God is the God of the zillionth number of chances. And so if you've missed your opportunity with God, you know, sometimes when we're hurt, sometimes when we've suffered loss, like we've seen in this story, it can be quite a challenge because we can go into self-preservation mode. We can go into independence mode. People can either fall apart or some people can go into, actually, I've got this sorted. I don't even need God. I've got this sorted. And I think through that story, God is saying, He wants to reach out to you afresh because he wants relationship. Because it's all about relationship. He wants to reach out to you. He wants to put people alongside you. You may choose not to go to life group because you've been hurt in the past and there's been relationship issues in the past. And you think, I don't want to connect with people because if I don't connect with them in the first place, I'm not going to be disappointed. And God is saying to you today, what about if those people that I'm connecting with you to are the answer that you're looking for, that are going to come alongside you, they're going to help lift you up, and they're going to be partnering with me to see you come into the fullness of life. So this is where I just want to end in a moment. He loves to see good relationships develop. He puts, I think of Gareth and Liz coming all the way from Coventry to move to Burton Latimer, and God has put fantastic relationships around them, people around them. And you know what? This couple are worth it. So are you. God wants you to know he's got you covered and you are worth it. Shall we stand? If you can relate to any of that, if any of you have got stuff going on and you need prayer, you would like someone to pray with you, if you come forward at the end of the meeting, there'll be some of us here at the front. We'll be happy to work stuff through with you, to pray with you. But God wants you to know that he is absolutely committed to the positive outcome of your life. We are more than conquerors. He wants you to know that you are more than victorious. You know, in Christ, you have the victory. In him are all the answers. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Why don't you just reach out right now to God and thank him? If everything in your garden is rosy at the moment, and I hope for the majority of you that is the case, thank him for all that he's already done. Thank you. Thank him for the people he's put alongside you. Thank him for the covering of the blood of Jesus. We'll see next week that there's so much more to this story, but right now, God wants to speak to each one of you individually. Do you know something I've learned over the last few weeks and last few months is when we're in any sort of situation, a really great thing to ask God is, God, in this situation that I'm in, how do you want to prove yourself to me? How do you want to show up to me? I had a massive wobble earlier this year, and I've not got time to tell you about it now, but I had a massive wobble spiritually. And I asked God that question, and he said, Debbie, I'm going to show you that I'm your stability. And he placed my feet back on that rock. Well, they hadn't left, to be honest. He showed me that my feet were on that rock, and he showed me that he's an anchor. He showed himself faithful. Why don't you ask him, God, how do you want to show yourself to me? Amen.
Just as Debbie was speaking, I felt like God would say, are there people that there are people here who've known him, but for quite a while have felt dry and felt like he's been distant. Now, that's not been true. He's not been distant. He's been close, but sometimes he can feel distant. So if that's you, In fact, let's all of us put our hands out. But if that's you, just say that to him. Lord, I feel dry. Just in your own head. We don't need to hear. But Lord, I feel dry and I need you. And I'm just going to pray for us. God, we are dry without you. And your spirit is life to us. And every day we need you. So right now, would you come and fill me back up? God, I'm like a leaky bucket. And I need to be refilled by your spirit. Because you are life. So just come and fill me now. And then we're just going to take, I don't know, a minute, 2 minutes. And we're just going to feel him close. Just open ourselves up to him. God will come. He will come and fill us as we wait for him. So we're just going to take those 2 minutes as I stop speaking. If you feel like the Holy Spirit's meeting with you right now, then stick your hand up and people around you can lay their hands on you and pray. But I'll hand back to Dave.
Our Father has spoken very kindly to us this morning. We're very happy as a church to pray for you, and we have some people who are very willing to pray for you. And if you'd like more time to consider what God has been saying to you and you'd like prayer, if you could come down to the front here. If you're visiting us, over on my left, there's a big plaster thing, new here. If you'd like to go there, find out a little bit more about us. We're going to have tea and coffee now. The children have clearly been enjoying themselves this morning by the noise they've been making. And if you'd like to go and collect what's left of your children, please feel free to do that. Otherwise, we'll finish there. Tea and coffee over on the bar, or you can come down to the front if you'd like to be prayed for. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Debbie.